at this time, I'm excited to preach the fourth song on the summer series playlist. And all this summer, God's been blessing us. Last week, didn't Elder Justin preach like it was his last time? The Sunday before that, it was Let Me See You Walk. And the Sunday before that, Lord, what was it? I think it was a hell of a year. It was a line that came straight out of Lil Baby's song, The Bigger Picture. And so today we're going into the fourth song on our summer playlist. And I think some of you are going to appreciate this song. But before we get into the song, it's always good to be in the scripture. And so come with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Y'all look good in your all-white vibes today. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 20 through 22. And I want to read this into your hearing. I'm reading out of the New Revised Standard Version, and I'm believing that our hearts are going to be blessed today. John chapter 16, verse 20 through 22. And it reads like this. Jesus is talking. Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. Verse 21. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. There's some sisters that know about that hour. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. Today on the fourth song in our summer playlist sermon series is Joy and Pain. Can everybody say that with me? Joy and pain. Yeah, this isn't hip hop right here. No, this isn't no rap music right here. This is some old school R&B. This is a song that came out in 1980 on an album called Joy and Pain. This was the fifth song on the album Joy and Pain that was released by a group called Maze and Frankie Beverly. Yeah, and when one of the older saints saw my list this summer, they said, Pastor, we so glad you thought about us on the summer playlist. I don't know nothing about Lil Baby, a new baby, a old baby, a big baby. I don't know nothing about that, but I know something about that Joy and Pain, Pastor. Yeah, Frankie Beverly and Maze and Frankie Beverly. This is some rich R&B. I should let you know that even R&B, which stands for rhythm and blues, also came out of the African-American experience. It came out of our pain and our hopes. It came out of our experience through the civil rights movement. R&B, rhythm and blues, it's a music that speaks to relationships. It's a music that speaks to our hopes. It's a music that actually paints the picture through lyrical form of what the human existential experience is like. That's why a lot of y'all love some R&B. I'm talking about the Temptations. I'm talking about the Supremes. I'm talking about Aretha Franklin. I'm talking about Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Y'all ain't know I knew nothing about all of that, because even my young soul likes some old school, because it was talking about something. This song, Joy and Pain, that last stanza in the song is one of my favorite verses in the song. Listen to the words. It says, over and over, you can be sure there will be sorrow, but you will endure. Where there's a flower, there's the sun and the rain. Oh, but it's wonderful. They're both one in the same. You heard me, but you didn't hear me. Then they go out and close the song saying it's joy and pain. And they're like, like sunshine and rain. The truth is, this is not just a song. This is everybody's story, because we all are dancing in the dichotomy of joy and pain. And a lot of people see your joy, but they don't understand the pain that you've had to dance through. You don't just have all good days. You don't just have all fun times. You don't just have all mountaintop moments. There's some times where there's some pain along the route. There's some anguish along the route. There's some pressure along the route. And for the deep saints who say, well, if you struggle, that means you're not close enough to God. The devil is a liar, because the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Another psalmist put it like this: it was good that I was afflicted, because my affliction actually helped me learn about God's word. There's another scripture that this same Jesus who we read just from a minute ago, he said, in this life you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, I've already overcome the world. I know we like to shout about the end of those scriptures, but the beginning of those scriptures let us know we're dancing between joy and pain. It was joy to hear that Juneteenth became a federal holiday, but it was pain on the other side to realize you'll give us the symbol of a Juneteenth holiday, but you won't pass the George Floyd Policing Act. It was joy to give us the symbolism of a Juneteenth holiday, but it was pain because young black men and women are still being killed by the police and each other right here in Chicago and other states and other cities. It's a joy to realize that we come from a people of rich heritage and history, and we marched on Juneteenth. We celebrated on Juneteenth. I was playing spades on Juneteenth. I was enjoying being black and proud on Juneteenth. But the pain is, on the Monday after Juneteenth, I had to do the eulogy of a 26-year-old girl who was shot by a stray bullet. It's a dance between joy and pain. Ain't no need of you sitting there looking at me like I'm making this up. Can anybody else testify that you understand what life feels like? You can be up one moment, down the next, feel good one moment, feel rough the next, have a good report one day, have a bad report another day. You're dancing in between breakthroughs and breakdowns, dancing between laughter and lament, dancing between misery and ministry, dancing between good days and bad days. How do you dance when life keeps throwing at you these two polar opposites, this dichotomy, this oxymoron, this juxtaposition of joy and pain? How do you dance through all of that? And it's helpful to understand that we have to reimagine what we understand about joy. What we even have to reimagine what we understand about pain. Pain is not the enemy of joy. Pain is the ally of joy. Y'all not listening. I said pain is not joy's enemy, it's joy's ally, because it's pain that makes you appreciate joy. If you never had any pain, you really don't know what joy is. If you've never had some cloudy, rainy days, you really do stop appreciating the sunshine. If you never had some low moments, you really don't know what it means to be up and have some good days. Somebody ought to thank God that only God can make all things work together for the good of them who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Pain is not joy's enemy, it's joy's ally. No, I know what a good woman is because I've been with some bad women. You know what a good man is because you've been with some dogs. I mean some bad men. You know what a good day is. Can I talk to the real folk? Let me just warn you, this ain't discernment for the super duper spiritual saints. This is discernment for the folk who can keep it all the way 100 and admit, I know what good is, because I've been in some bad places, and I've had some bad emotions, and I've wrestled with some bad feelings, but I know when joy comes because I've seen the depths of pain. And even when they build highways, they meticulously and purposefully add curves in the highway so that you will never have to just drive on straight road. Mm-hmm. Because if you just had straight, smooth road, those who studied the infrastructure of America when they built the highways, they said if all the roads are straight and smooth, the drivers will go to sleep. So we got to put curves, we got to put dips, we have to put rises, we have to put falls, because the curve keeps you conscious. You'll catch it later. The dips make you wake up. Yeah, the moments when stuff gets shaky and starts moving, that keeps you on your toes and make sure you don't kill yourself. If all you had was joy, you would hurt yourself. But the pain makes you appreciate the journey. The pain makes you wake up to realize what God's trying to teach you. Can I holler at 30 people who can admit I've been through some stuff and I learned more in the valley than I did on the mountain? Don't you fool me right here. Somebody ought to pause right there and give God crazy praise that all of your dips, all of your valleys, all of your rough days made you learn something. Look at somebody and say, joy and pain is like sunshine and rain. That's what's going on in this text today. Jesus is talking to his disciples about the reality of joy and pain. He's letting them know, hey, y'all, I'm not going to be with you forever. I've got to go. I've got a purpose that I have to fulfill. And so in this verse, Jesus keeps trying to prepare their hearts with some principles that will help them navigate joy and pain. Can I just park right here and tell you, this is why I get nervous about young Christians and immature Christians. I get nervous about young Christians and immature Christians, because as soon as something uncomfortable comes, they start running and they're ready to leave and they're ready to bow down. But no, you can't be Christian and jelly back at the same time. No, you got to learn when pain shows up, that is not the time to bow down. That's not the time to quit. That's not always the time to throw in the towel. God may be using that pain to give you some more power. Preach, Reginald Sharp. I'm doing the best I can. And Jesus preparing his disciples, who he's telling them, you got to be ready for the joy and the pain. And here's how you deal with it. Number one, you've got to face the undesirable. Go and tell somebody, you got to face the undesirable. Yeah. If you moonwalk backwards, I read verse 20, verse 22, but verse 16, chapter 16, verse 5 says like this. Catch this now. Jesus says, but now I'm going to him who sent me. I'm going back to my Father. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Jesus, I can't be with you forever. I got to go back to my Father in heaven. I got some business to handle in glory. I just came here to do something, and I got to go back. But watch this. Nevertheless, verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. He said, hold on, listen, I know y'all feeling some kind of way. You don't want me to go because you've been with me. This is the book of John. You were with me when I turned, Dasani into Pinot Grigio. You were with me when I turned Essentia water into Chardonnay. You were with me when I turned, a bottle of Deer Park into Merlot. Don't ask me how I know about all that. You saw me when I was talking to the woman at the well. You saw me when I got the man up off the bed who'd been laying there for 38 years. You saw me turn two pieces of tilapia into a banquet that fed 5,000. You've been with me, and you don't want to leave me. You're not ready for change. You say you want to shift gears, but you ain't ready. No, y'all don't like shift. No, you don't like changes. And so he said, I gotta go. I have to. I know you don't want me to go, but I have to go, because if I don't go, then a new dimension of God's presence cannot be experienced. If I stay, you will not have the full manifestation of the Holy Ghost. But if I leave, some better is coming. Wait, I told you, here's the first principle. You got to be willing to face the undesirable. What do you mean? You've got to embrace the pain of exits so you can experience the joy of new entrances. If some stuff doesn't close, other stuff can't open. Mm-hmm. And God is the only one who's leaving and coming at the same time. God is the only one who exits and enters at the same time. God is the only one who departs and arrives at the same time. God is the only one who has a recessional and a processional at the same time. Y'all sitting there looking at me like, huh? Let me break it down. When things leave, when people leave, it's a place and a space for God to do something new in your life. So you've been crying over things ending, but you ought to be shouting for what's about to begin. You've been shouting, you've been sad over who left. You ought to start shouting about who's coming, because even your phone can teach you that principle. If you got too much in your memory, you can't even get new pictures. But if your phone is acting up and moving slow, the first thing they tell you is delete some stuff so you can get some new stuff downloaded. Who am I preaching to today? Who ought to give God praise that he's doing something new in your life? And it ain't just anything. When Jesus leaves, he said the Holy Ghost is coming. The Advocate is coming. The Strengthener is coming. The Comforter is coming. What if I told you what's coming is going to be better than what's been? But if you stuck on the pain of endings, you'll never know the joy of new beginnings. I had lunch with a pastor recently here in the city. He's been a mentor to me. And without him even knowing anything about me, he told me, Sharp, you better get ready for folk to leave you. Yeah. As quiet as it is right now in the room, is as quiet as I was at the table. He said, I know you're a new pastor. I know people are excited. He said, but Sharp, the quicker you get ready and understand that everybody that comes ain't staying. And some folk who come ain't coming for the right reason. He said, Sharp, the quicker you understand, everybody ain't going to stay. Everybody who said, I'm going to be with you forever. He just said, look at him and say, mm-hmm, because only time is going to tell. And while it's an example for a new pastor, it's an example for you too, because everybody ain't going to stay. Everybody can't hang with you. Everybody can't handle the new altitude you about to go to. That's why everybody don't climb mountains, because the air is lighter. If you want to kill a snake on a plane, just keep ascending, because you will go high enough that the snake can't breathe that high. That's why the enemy can't mess with you, because you keep going higher and everybody can't hang with you at that level. Talking about I'm lonely. No, you're living your best life. Talking about I'm lonely. No, you are on your way to being more, doing more, becoming more. And give God some crazy praise over the joy. You can't see it now. Wait. You can't see it now. But if you could just face the undesirable. Yeah. Because the joy of what's coming is gonna make up for the pain of what left. I don't know who I'm preaching to, and maybe I'm just preaching to two people, but the people who it hit, give God some glory for stuff that's on the way. Wait, here it is. You gotta face the undesirable. Yeah. But then number two, your frustrations are endurable. Here it is. I ain't got but a few more minutes left. Here it is. Verse 19. I'm still in Bible country. Jesus is talking. And watch what he says. He says, a little while and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. Verse 17. Then some of the disciples said to one another, now what does he mean by all this? Now what are you talking about? Now here goes Jesus being Jesus again, saying stuff can't nobody understand. Talking about something nobody get. What does he mean saying to us a little while? He sounds just like church folk, don't he? What do he mean by that? A little while and you would no longer see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. And because I'm going to my Father, they said, what does he mean by this? A little while. We do not know what he's talking about. And Jesus hears them. And Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so what do you mean? Discussing among themselves. What you talking about? A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. They couldn't understand it. They were confused. They were messed up. They were jacked up in the head. They just was all thrown off. And of course, you have to understand, Jesus speaks in parables. So he only wants the people to get it who have the right heart to get it. Everybody can't get everything spiritual because some people operate wholly in the flesh. And that's why in the Bible it says, let them who have ears to hear. He said, in a little while, you're not going to see me. A little while, you will see me. It ain't deep, it's direct. He said, when I leave here, I got to die. Yeah, on Friday, they're going to crucify me. But that's going to happen in a little while. But a little while after that little while, if you just wait Friday night, wait Saturday morning, wait Saturday afternoon. I feel like preaching and I'm getting nervous. Wait Saturday night. Just wait Saturday evening. The old preacher will say early. Sunday morning, he's going to get up and you're going to see him again after a little while. The problem is Christians forget that the pain you're going through just lasts a little while. You get confused with a little while and a lifetime. Yeah, some stuff you just got to go through for a little while. Some of this stuff you just got to face it for a little while. That drama at the house is just going to go on for a little while. You looking for a job in between jobs, waiting on your next? Don't worry, it's going to happen in a little while. And I don't know who I'm talking to today. This isn't for everybody, but I release a prophetic word over your life that if you just can wait on the Lord and be of good courage, in a little while, everything is going to turn around for you. I don't know why, but on Sunday, Father's Day, y'all do know, if you don't know, now you know, Anita is my God baby. Yeah, that's my goddaughter. My goddaughter, Reverend Pope, years ago, his wife, Brandy, who just joined our church. They've been a blessing already in the 2 or 3 weeks they've been here. Years ago, they asked me and my wife to be the godparents. And so Anita is my baby. And the other day when I said I don't have children on Father's Day, Anita was sitting in the chair saying, but he got a goddaughter. She was complete. She's 5 years old and offended. So we hanging out on Father's Day, and for some strange reason, we went to some funnel cake ice cream, because you know Sunday is the cheat day during the fast. Holla at your boy. Just for y'all talking about, look at Reb. No, Sunday is the cheat day. So we cheating, eating funnel cake ice cream. And we standing outside. I don't know the name of the place, but out of nowhere, it's dark outside. It's a little after 9 o'clock. And Anita looks up and says, it's about to be morning. Everybody else talking, mouth full of funnel cake, and I'm standing there with my mouth about to drop because I'm looking up at the sky, and it's pitch black dark. The sun just went down, and she said, it's about to be morning. And the Lord said, you better listen to her because she didn't lie. It is about to be morning. Just give it a little while and a few more hours. It's going to be morning. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I came to let you know in a little while, it's about to be morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy. Look at somebody like you're mad at them and say, morning is coming. I might cry right now. I might lose some sleep right now. I might not know what to do right now. But morning is... Y'all didn't tell nobody. I said, tell 2 or 3 people, morning is coming. Morning is coming. Morning is coming. I'm crying today, but morning is coming. I'm worried today. Somebody write in the chat, a little while, God's gonna fix it. A little while, God's gonna turn it around. A little while, your business gonna come back. A little while, your marriage is gonna come back together. A little while, your swag's gonna come back. But don't wait till it comes. While you're waiting on the Lord to fix it, in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your midnight, in the middle of your grief. Touch yourself, say, just a little while. Just a little while. I'm broke just a little while. I'm lonely just a little while. I'm confused. I didn't mean to get this loud. Y'all sit down. Sit down. But they that wait on the Lord, after a little while, he's gonna renew. And there's some stuff God's about to do for fellowship. It might not happen immediately, but somebody holler loud as you can, a little while, a little while, a little. Wait, see, y'all done let folk come back in the building and I'm trying to behave. I'm used to preaching to nobody. Y'all please sit down. I'm trying to move on. Y'all sit down, please, please. Somebody who know what I'm talking about, give God praise. If you've ever seen him fix it after a little while. That's why my grandma used to say, trouble don't last. Woo. Don't last always. Wait, 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 wait. Wait. Y'all, listen, listen, listen. It's about to be morning. It's about to be morning. I dare you, the next time somebody bring you some bad news, just point up like little Anita and say, it's about to be morning. They may look at you like you're crazy, but you gotta speak those things that be not as if they already are. It's about to be morning. It is. Yeah. 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 Okay, okay, okay. Can I give you one more? Can I just give you one more? Let me give you one more. You gotta face the undesirable. Your frustrations are endurable. But last and finally, God's fixing the unbearable. Tell somebody God's fixing it. Come on, just write in the chat, just say God's fixing it. God apostrophe S fixing it. God's fixing it. Yeah, yeah. How is he fixing the unbearable? Because verse 20 says, very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. He's talking to his disciples about the moment he's going to die. He said, listen, y'all going to be mourning and upset for a season. And while you're mourning and upset, everybody else is going to be rejoicing. You've got to be mature enough to live through the seasons when you look like a fool. You've got to be mature enough to live through the season when people are laughing at you. That's why I didn't know Reverend Clay Evans. I didn't know your father for a long time, but this building stayed here with just steel beams for 7 years. And every time I think about that story, my faith gets jolted. Because the story is, Deacon Michael, and stop me if I'm wrong, preachers would ride by and laugh at fellowship because for 7 years, nothing but steel beams set up here. But when you name a legendary preacher from Chicago, Illinois, one of the first names on the list is Reverend Clay Evans. You will weep. You will mourn. Others will rejoice. But the Bible says that your pain is going to turn into joy. It's just like verse 21. It says, when a woman is in labor, she has pain. Because it's time for the baby to come. Matter of fact, they call it labor pains. Some of your pain
ain't because you're in trouble. It's because you're in transition. Listen, I got to move on. I got to move on. Something's coming that's going to outlive you. And you got to be mature enough to handle this pain, because when the child is born, yeah, she no longer remember. She can't even remember all the pain, because the joy of having the baby has taken some of the pain away. Watch your verse 22. So your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Church folk don't know any shout. Yeah. After all you've been through, all these labor pains, all this grief, all this pandemic, all this loss of sleep, the Bible says when this next round of joy comes, nobody can take it from you, because it took too long for you to get it. Wait, because God is going to turn your pain into joy. Y'all not feeling me like I need you to feel me. So I got to tell y'all what happened the other day. I was in my kitchen, minding my business, and we keep some throat coat in the house because I preach. Bree sings. She sings way better than I preach. And we have to protect our voices. So we keep some throat coat and some ginger honey crystals in the house at all times. So one day I go into the cabinet and I grab me a throat coat tea bag, lay it on the counter, and y'all, the tea bag start talking to me. Tea bag said, "Good morning, Sharp." I said, "So you must have been around my wife, because don't nobody call me Sharp but Bree." I said, "Well, good morning to you. What made you so talkative today?" He said, "Every time y'all open this cabinet, I see you grabbing all my friends out. I just wanted to talk to you. What's up, Sharp?" I said, "Well, what's up with you?" He said, "Nothing much. I'm just chilling." I said, "Man, you know, I never really thought about it, but, you know, you are a dry, plain, bland-looking bag of tea." He said, I take that, Sharp. I'm cool, Sharp." He said, "But if you want to experience the fullness of my efficacy, if you want to discover my medicinal uses, I dare you to put me in some hot water." He said, "The minute you put me in hot water, everything that makes me powerful starts coming out. Everything that makes me worth buying starts coming out. Not in cold water alone, but it really comes out strong in hot water." He said, "That's when you figure out who I am. I'm at my best when stuff gets hot. Yeah. I'm my strongest when stuff is the hottest." He said, "But that's not when I'm really my best. If you read the instructions on the back of my packet," he said, "you've got to steep me." He said, "You get a saucer, you get another cup, put it on top." He said, "Now everything to me seems to be closing in. Not only am I hot, but stuff starts closing in. Not only am I hot, stuff's closing in, but now it's dark. But I become stronger when I'm in hot water, when I'm in the dark, and when stuff starts closing in." He said, "You give me about 10 to 15 minutes, and you thought I was strong outside the dark. You thought I was strong before I got steeped, but it's something about being steeped in the dark that turns my plainness into power." He said, I said, "Well, that's real nice. Thank you for the lesson on what makes you powerful." I said, "But how do you endure all of that? How do you just hang in there? I mean, it's hot, it's dark, you're closed in." He said, "Wait, one more thing. When the steeping season is over, there's one more thing that a good tea maker knows they have to do. They've got to squeeze me. Because there's a little bit still left in me." He said, I can handle hot water and I'm going to get stronger. I can be steeped and I'm going to get stronger. Put me in the dark, I'm going to get stronger. But then you squeeze me and I get even stronger under pressure. I said, so you've been put in hot water, you've been steeped, you in the dark, and you can handle being squeezed. He said, yeah, Sharp, that's how my power comes out. I said, well, how do you endure all of that? He said, well, before I went in the hot water, there's a tag connected to me. And he said, when the water gets real hot and when the steeping process gets real long, I remind myself that there's a tag connected and there's a string connected. So when the person trying to make me gets me where they want me to be, I can chill in the pain of it all, because I know eventually after the pain, I'm gonna get pulled out. And see, some of y'all around here, folks are trying to understand why you shout so loud. Yes, folks around here trying to understand, why does it take all of that? And why do you have to dance like that? And why do you have to lift your hands like that? And why do you have to give God praise like that? And the truth is, we're just like that tea bag, because you understand that there is a season of darkness, and there is a season where I've been squeezed, and there is a season when I've been in hot water, and there is a season where I've been steeped. But the real reason I shout is because of all the times God pulled me out. Is there anybody listening who can just lift your hands and say, Lord, I want to thank you, because I've seen joy and I've seen pain, but I got to lift my hands, because after I suffered for a little while, the God of all grace pulled me out. And is there anybody other than me that can give God glory this morning, that you can look over your life at all of the times he pulled you out of that sickness, pulled you out of car accidents, pulled you out of depression, pulled you out of sadness, pulled you out of complicated relationships, pulled you out of that grief, pulled you, and nobody thought you would be this strong. Nobody thought you would be this efficacious. Nobody thought you would be this wise. Nobody thought you would be this powerful. But what they don't know is how long you had to survive in hot water. What they don't know is how long you've been in pain. But the Lord has messed around and turned your pain into joy. I don't need a tea bag to testify. I got my own testimony. Well, what is it, Sharp? I've had some good days. I've had some bad days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. I've had some sleepless nights. Do you see the joy and pain? But when I look around and start thinking things over, all of my good days still outweigh my bad days. So I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low and I can hardly see the road. And I ask the question, why, Lord, so much pain? Why, Lord, so many deaths? Why, Lord, so many shootings? Why, Lord, so much crime? Why, Lord, so many liars? Why, Lord, so many backbiters? Why, Lord, so many backstabbers? Why, Lord, so many lonely days? Why, Lord, so many long nights? And then the answer comes, but he knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes, they can't see, so I'll throw my hands up in the middle of my pain. I'll throw my hands up in the middle of my hot water. I'll throw my hands up in the middle of the darkness. I'll throw my hands up even when I feel the pressure. And I won't complain, because God has been good to me. He has been good to me, better than this whole world or you could ever be. So I'll just say, somebody walk up to somebody, somebody get near somebody and tell them, you don't know all the pain I've had to push through. Tell them, you don't know all the pain I'm pushing through right now. But in the morning, joy got to come. Strength got to come. Happiness, peace, clarity, wisdom, it's got to come. So be not dismayed, whatever. Tell somebody, God will, God will, God will, God will, oh, He will. Somebody holler in a little while. Somebody holler in a little while. Somebody holler in a little while. Joy is on the way. Joy is. Woo. We in COVID and we can't touch nobody, but just point at them and say, I said joy is coming. Tell them joy is on the itinerary. Tell them joy is on the schedule. Tell them just hold on. Just hold on. Hold on. Hold on. And when it shows up, you're going to be able to testify, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world, somebody clap your hands like you know joy is coming. Y'all better stop playing and give God some glory after everything you've been through. Put those hands together. Say it again. He pulled me
through.
Got to go. All the folk who've been pulled through, just wave your hands at the preacher, cause you ain't by yourself. I'm alive right now, cause over and over and over and over and over and over, he kept pulling me. It ain't all been turned yet, but he's doing it right now. Say us. Can you lift your hands to heaven? I'm preaching to somebody. You look good, but you're in pain. Your friends don't really know. Your family don't really know. Church folk don't really know. Because we've been taught so well to fake it till we make it. But what if I told you your faking it is what's postponing your healing? Lift your hands to heaven. and just ask it. This is probably the most real, simple prayer you'll ever pray in 2021. Say, God, heal me for real. Heal me for real, for real. I don't need a halfway healing. I need wholeness. I need my joy to come back. I tell God, send my joy back. There's a scripture in Psalm 51 that we're about to pray together. Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Come on, come on, ask God right now, restore my joy. I'm tired of fake smiling. I'm tired of fake laughing. I'm tired of not having any energy. I'm tired of pushing through it and faking it. Lord, I need you to restore my joy. Folk don't even see how low I really am. So God, I pray that you rush to that woman I'm talking to right now who has tears going down her face. Talk to that man who's trying to be strong for everybody else and release him to know when he's in your presence, he doesn't have to pretend anymore. He can become a son again and you can be his father. I pray for healing in our mental, healing in our emotional, healing in our physical, healing in our spiritual. We thank you that after all this pain, in a little while, you're gonna turn our pain into joy. God, if somebody doesn't have real joy, I pray they come running to Jesus because he's the joy giver. He's the one that's stocked up on joy. And if we could just connect to Jesus, we can reconnect to our joy. And I pray that those that don't know him come running. Those that don't have a church home come running. I pray that those that need another chance come running today. Email them. Lead them to email us. Lead them to text us so that they can be reconnected, restored with their joy. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Amen. And amen. If you're glad, joy is on the way again. Give God praise. You may not have it right now, but just give God praise for joy. If you need Christ, come on. If you need Christ, come on, come on. If you need Christ, come on, come on. Come on, sing it with us. Joy.
Joy. Joy.
Come on, sing it with us. God's
God's great joy.
If you need a church home, come on, email us.
Joy.
We'll respond
joy.
To it. Down in my soul.
Down in my soul.
Come on, describe it.
Sweet
and it's
beautiful.
Soul saving.
Soul saving joy.
Oh, joy.
Joy. Joy in my soul.
Come on. Everybody say joy.
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 Oh, joy.
God's great joy.
Anybody glad you got joy?
Joy.
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 Down in my soul.
Down in my soul.
Come on, describe it for me.
Sweet.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Soul saving.
Soul saving. Joy.
Oh, joy.
Joy. Joy. Joy.
One more time, say joy.
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 Joy. God's great joy.
I'm so glad I got it, joy.
Joy.
Down in my soul.
Down in my soul.
I've spent some seasons without it, but it's sweet.
Soul
saving.
Soul saving joy.
Have you ever had God fill you with joy?
Oh, joy?
Went through the valley of the shadow of death and didn't know where your exit was, but God gave you.
Oh, joy.
You were grieving, felt like you were dying, felt like there was never any hope, but
oh, joy.
He'll fill you, he'll give it to you. won't he give you what you need? He'll fill you, but he'll send it to you, and he'll give you what you need. Hey, hey, in the midnight hour, you'll be able to look up and say, morning is coming. In the midnight hour. Have you ever had a midnight hour? He gives me strength.
He gives me strength and power, joy.
Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Won't he do it?
He gives me strength and power, joy.
And I got a name for him. I got a name for him. He's Alpha and Omega.
He's Alpha and Omega, joy.
He was there at the beginning, and he'll be there when things end. He's an Alpha.
He's Alpha and Omega, joy.
Some of y'all know no food on the table.
No food on the table, joy.
What did you know? I know he's able.
I know that he is able, joy.
You ought to look at somebody and tell them, I'm going through a lot, but
I know.
Somebody give him glory like he pulled you through. Yes, he did.
He pulled me through. Joy. Joy in my soul.
I used to apologize, Nate, when I get happy sometimes. And I go home saying, I wish I could hold it in. But can I tell you what they don't know? They see my joy, but they don't know the pain. They see my joy, but they don't know my pain. Oh, joy!
Oh, joy!
Got to go. Oh, joy. Covered on my left, covered on my right, covered when I go to bed and sleep tonight. I'm covered on my left, covered on my right, covered when I go to bed and sleep tonight. I'm covered on my left, covered on my right, covered when I go to bed and sleep tonight. Covered on my left, covered on my right, covered when I go to bed and sleep.
Oh, joy, joy in my soul.
Ooh, yeah. Am I by myself? Am I by myself? Am I by myself? Am I by myself? And if you don't want no joy, don't get in his presence. If you don't want no joy, don't mess around and get in his presence. Cause in his presence, it's the fullness of joy. I got to stop. I got to stop. Y'all come help me now. Come help me now. Tell somebody this joy. I didn't buy it at Walgreens. Tell them this joy. was out of stock at Mariano's. Tell them this joy, I couldn't find it on a shelf at Neiman's. This joy, I couldn't find at a thrift store. This joy I have. I got to stop. Woo! Come on and give. Come on and give. Come on and give. Look at those seven ways to give. And I want you to sow a joy seed. I want you to put a joy seed in the ground. I don't know what that looks like for you, but just sow a seed. Expecting not to reap a new job, not to reap a new elevation, more money. You're sowing this seed saying, God, I'm expecting for my joy to come back. And somebody ought to give God a quick praise right there, that he is the only one that can restore your joy. Thank you, creative team, for helping us set up this summer series. And thank you for all of your creativity. Thank you, fellowship, for those of you still watching today. In honor of our founder's birthday, 96th heavenly birthday, we're going to close out with this little message that I think you need to let stick with you. I want it to be in your spirit, because it really is no secret. A lot of years have passed. A lot of decades have passed. But the song is still just as true. It's no secret what God can do. We close honoring our founding pastor today. Come on. It is
no secret
what God,
can do.
Lord, have mercy.
What is done for another.
I know the Lord will. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. With his arms.
Pardon you.
Yes, he will, and yes, he will. What God can do. Come on, say it again, say it again. It is what my God
can do.
And la 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 la. Lord will, oh, with his arms,
wide open,
he'll pardon you, give you grace, give you joy, give you strength. It is no secret. Evans family, we're praying for you. Keeping you lifted during this time. Deacon Michael, we love you. We got you covered in prayer. My grandma told me this week she's not feeling too good. Grandma Harper Fellowship, we love you up here. And we're still praying for you. Some of your loved ones are sick right now. Some of you are listening in hospitals. You're listening in your sick bed to this right now. Some of you are in prison. In the penitentiary, you're listening to this right now, wherever you are, I need you to know that the same God who gave me joy is the same God that can give you joy. One of our beloved members called me this week and said, Pastor, they say I have stage 4 cancer. Her heart is going through different emotions. I speak to you right now. You know who you are, the same God who kept you down through the years is the same God that'll cover you right now. So no matter where you are, everybody just wave your hand and let God know, I thank you for the joy that's coming back. Come on, one more time. Let's sing it as we leave. Oh, it is, it is, it is. What God? Oh, I'm so glad. So glad, I'm so glad. He did it for Reverend Evans. He did it for Pastor Jenkins. He can still do it for me.
Oh,
what will he do? And it is.